All right, football, man. That's good stuff.
All right, so Mikey, Isaac, everything's good?
Yeah, totally right, cool, man. Cool. I know I'm like ready to talk to you, but yep, I'm like, save it for this.
Yeah. No, we've been chatting.
Yeah, anyway, so we're just going to go through. I'm just going to let this record right now, so I'm hoping.
Yeah, because we can cut stuff out.
Actually, yeah. I'm recording, you know what, there too. We are. Go ahead, everybody, just do a little check real quick. Go ahead, Mikey.
Aerial check 125.
567-123.
Check. Good to go.
Awesome. Right, okay, right. So main thing tonight, just make sure we stay close. We're gonna have an audio loop and all this stuff, so we'll work all that out. We'll do the opening, introduction. We'll talk about, we'll introduce you first.
Okay.
And then talk about, and I'm staying with Mikey the Enforcer. What I want to welcome Mikey the Enforcer, everybody, and everybody will say welcome, and then as we get going, maybe you ask him, hey, I just want to know how you got the Enforcer name. And then you give your story about enforcing it.
I
gave it to you because you were Christmas time.
When do you want me to ask that?
Ask him why they call you the Enforcer.
When though?
Yeah, whenever. Okay, whenever. Yeah, right. We're just vibing, and then Mikey, you just talk about this guy gave me the name because I was putting little kids down on the playground and I was dunking. I broke my wrist.
Okay, so, that's true story.
All right, cool. So we'll go silent for a minute, and then we'll rock and roll right into it, right? You guys good?
Yep.
All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome tonight to tonight's One Epic Podcast. We have a couple special guests tonight in the house. First guy we want to introduce is Mikey, the Enforcer. Kareel, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, pretty good.
You doing all right, man? Yes, good sir. Week?
Yep.
Good, man, good. And then our second guest tonight is Isaac Lessard. He has been one of our athletes through the years, through our company. And he's playing at San Diego State and playing the position of fullback this year. So we have him on. Welcome, Isaac. How you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, good.
Definitely
real good.
Good. And then we got me, Greg Howard, and we got my partner in crime,
We
Dino.
Got me, Dino, right here.
Nice, man. So we'll get started tonight. We just want to bring you guys in tonight and talk a little football, and then we'll get in and talk a little life and have a good time. So first of all, I think the fitting thing is, dude, is ultimately talk about me and Isaac and our history together.
Yeah.
When did we start training?
We started my junior year, so back in high school, probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, so you were transferring from Sacramento up to hometown, Yuba.
Yeah, so I moved up to Yuba City from Sacramento to live with my dad, and then we needed a place to work out, so we just started exploring.
We heard of
Elite, so we checked that out.
Awesome. And then, it all goes from there.
Exactly.
I think the first time we trained together, well, a lot of those workouts, a lot of people would come and just throw up all over the place.
Yeah.
That's a good workout. No pain, no gain.
It was the worst. Kids would go home, would throw up on their faces and on their clothes. So we started that relationship, and just let it grow. And then you ended up transferring from Yuba City. You transferred from Yuba City to Jesuit High School.
Yeah.
Which is a private Catholic school, right, back to Sacramento. Tell me about that experience, because that team was loaded. I mean, can you just give us an idea of the kind of kids that were on that team and what kind of offers?
So we had a lot of talent on my Jesuit team, as we did on Yuba City. But we had a little bit more, like, guys that were noticed around the country. So, yeah, we had a DN, he went to Nevada. We had a quarterback, he ended up at Hawaii. Our best player probably was our running back.
Right.
He's at Colorado now.
He initially Alabama everywhere.
Alabama, correct. Oregon, oh, everywhere.
Right.
So, yeah, he was a stud. We had a receiver. He's playing down in Alabama right now.
Nice.
So, yeah, we had a really good group.
Right, and I followed you guys a little bit this year because Isaiah, one of our other players that played, ended up playing for the Chicago Bears and playing in the league. He's now coaching a Jesuit. And so he told me to tell you hello. And so it'll be cool to have you both on here, get you back, and we'll talk in the future. Yeah. So that whole journey, I mean, what's that like stepping onto a high school team like that and then being around a bunch of high level guys, and then, I mean, ultimately you come down here to San Diego State.
Yeah, so I think the biggest difference between high school and college is just the speed of the game, but just, you know, you're playing in high school and you're the senior, kind of the big dog on campus, the oldest guy out there, and then you get thrown in with a bunch of grown men.
I think you're a big dog anyway. How tall are you?
I'm 6'3".
And how what do you weigh?
240.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, man, you're a big dog. Any fullback's a big dog, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Punch your teeth in.
Yeah. I can relate to that, too, because I remember leaving high school, especially coming from Yuba, but, you know, going on, leaving for my scholarship and getting there the first week, and there's all these grown men. And I remember telling my parents the first year, and I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I told them, I was like, don't even waste your gas driving down here. Like, it's not worth it. Like, the first 2 years was complete beat down all the time. And it's a big adjustment. It's a really big adjustment.
Yeah.
So I can totally understand that. So what's it been like the last few years? So you come to San Diego State, you leave your family, you leave a lot of your support system, yeah. And then now you're down here. What's that like? What's a day in a life for a Division One football player?
So it was really tough my first year. We just have a really structured program, and we got a lot of pressure on us. But so that first year was really tough, just getting acclimated to everything. But now I kind of re-fell in love with the game.
Right.
Day in the life, it's a little bit, it's kind of broken up into two seasons, in season and off season. In season, we're just extremely busy. We wake up in the morning, we have either a run or a lift, followed by classes, and then that goes into meetings that start around 2, meetings, film, all that. That's for about hour and a half. Then we go practice for 2 hours, come right. back. Then you have either treatment or meals, and then back to night classes.
Right. So it's a full-time job.
Wow, full day during the season.
And even during the season, like when you're in season, a lot of people don't know this, but you remember Jackson Cummings, who played at Stanford, our running back. I remember flying out to South Bend to watch a game there against Notre Dame, and it was just an amazing game. I call him the next morning because I'm thinking, all right, you're still in South Bend.
Yeah.
And I he's like, bro, we're in Palo Alto, and I'm in film already. Like, they flew home that night after playing a night game, got on a jet, you fly home, and you're immediately already in film on Sunday getting ready for the week. And it's like, I don't think people realize the commitment that you guys have.
Yeah, there was nights we got back at 4 in the morning, and we had treatment on site, so we would get right off the plane, drive back to our campus, and then get right back in treatment.
Right.
So we wouldn't get home till 9, 10 in the morning sometimes, all night traveling.
It's insane.
It's pretty tough.
Wow.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
What are you studying, by the way?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. Yeah, okay,
so
nice.
I'm almost done with my criminal justice major, and then I'll start working on Homeland Security from the master's program.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Very nice. So you'll be down in this area, hopefully, or who knows?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity down here.
There is, yeah.
Yeah.
You liking it down here in San Diego?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It's just, the weather's perfect. We were just talking about it earlier. Just, I couldn't imagine being in the cold weather after staying here.
Yeah,
it's
no doubt, man. It ruins you over here.
It's perfect, yeah.
We were talking about that before you got here. It's about how Kayla, my daughter, she's in North Dakota, and it's sometimes 30 below, and they still got to go out and train. Goodness. They have spring season right now, so it's snowing and freezing, and
wear jackets.
Yeah, she falls all the time on the way to school and breaks her hip. So this is kind of funny. Mikey, you have a football background as well. I mean, the dedication on that side. I mean, I played high school football and I loved it. Not trying to be Al Bundy, but you guys played. You know, you guys played that higher level. You know, the commitment is just it's phenomenal, and then the wear on your bodies and stuff, and so. So looking back, I mean, how did you manage your pain and stuff, and did you just push through a lot, or what was your?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I played DB, so I wasn't getting hit that much.
Right.
As where Isaac's just crushing dudes every day, so I can imagine what he's going through.
Right.
But just pretty much pushing it through like any athlete in any sport.
It's a real tough balance, and then the injuries catch up to you as you get older.
Yeah.
But with good care and good PT now, and like you said, good therapy, man, you're pretty golden. So. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, yeah, I would agree, man. And as you get older, I mean, you'll realize, too, like, how important it is just to stay continuously training. And it's in your blood, man. You love it. So weightlifting is probably going to be the rest of your life, like all of us here.
Yeah.
And then through the seasons of weight training, we all go through different seasons of benching 400 to just doing reps with 25s, you know, just keeping in motion and just falling in love with different seasons.
Getting through the burnout.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played a lot of foosball in college.
Okay.
I know that.
That's just right here. So you,
quick wrist right there.
Dino looks like a football player, but
that's awesome.
I think he played soccer or something.
That's awesome.
I just want to touch a little bit because I want to get into our meat of what we're getting ready to talk to tonight about. But like, what's the last 3 years been like? You guys went to 3 bowl games. This last year, you guys playing West Point at the end of the game. You know, what was that like? I mean, it was a tough loss. I don't like to talk about losses because to me, they don't define anybody.
Yeah.
It's just one game. That's just me being an athlete and where I've been. But it's got to be tough. You know, you come through the whole season and you get to the bowl game. And then, you know, what was that like?
The worst thing about the loss was just sending the seniors off like that. We really value our seniors in our program. So sending them off with a loss isn't the way we wanted to do it. So that was definitely the worst part about it.
Right. What kind of goodies did you get this year?
I got a Yeti cooler.
One? The tumbler?
I got
a big one.
Yeah,
I had a 110.
35.
Really? 35?
Tundra.
That's a good cooler, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good ones.
That was my fucking flash. Last year I got Lazy Boy.
Did you?
We got 5 Lazy Boys in my house right now.
Yeah.
It's like a movie theater.
Oh, that's
funny. Because I remember Isaiah, you guys get Xbox, you know, whatever it is, plasma TVs, whatever you get for your bowl game.
Yeah.
On top of all the cool garb and shorts. I used to, what I would do with Jackson when he was playing at Stanford, because they had a run with those years. I mean, if you remember when Jackson was there, they were making national championship runs, and
yeah.
I'd go in and steal all of his clothes and everything, but you're not my size, so I can't steal your shorts. I'll be wearing shorts down below my knee. But I would go in there and steal all of his gear. After games, we'd go back to the dorms, and I'd steal his clothes. So, yeah, so well, we're excited. Man, we're excited to watch you over the next 2 years and,
and
see where that leads you. Just want to talk to you a little bit too about your peer group in college and how do you manage your peer group? Because I mean, it's easy, you know, coming from high school to get here. And even though you're in a structured program, there every guy and girls too, but every guy likes to go out and party and have a good time. How do you keep that balance and how do you keep yourself from bad peer groups and good peer groups? And how do you do that yourself?
Yeah, so I mean, I got friends outside of football and all that, but luckily for me, most of my friends, like my real good buddies, are in football. So we kind of have all the same mindset. I mean, we know we got stuff to do on Monday. We know we got work to do still. So we kind of all keep each other in balance.
That's good.
Yeah, keep each other from, you know, doing stupid stuff on the weekend.
That's good.
Trying to stay healthy, trying to keep our bodies right.
Yeah, it's a big deal because like anything – If one guy's not doing his job, the rest of the team suffers, and it's just a spiraling effect from there. So
yeah,
that's good to hear. I think it's good for our younger guys too that are coming up right now. They're getting ready to head to the D1, transition from being a great high school player. That's something I was really good at. And when I got to the Division I program, it's a hard transition from being a great high school player to being a great Division I athlete.
Yeah,
huge
really
difference.
Tough.
And you can get lost, and you can just start showing up and get 4 years in and you're gone and never really...
It goes by real fast.
It does. And yeah. and you got to deal with coaches and coaches liking you and all those fun things. But ultimately, I mean, it's just really important that that whole transition there. So if you had any advice to give some of our younger guys that are definitely going to listen to this podcast that are getting ready to make that transition, what advice would you give them coming into it?
Probably just be your own voice. Don't fall under peer pressure. Just be a leader. Stick up for what's right. Yeah.
And prepare.
Yeah.
Prepare for battle.
Yeah.
I want to go back and just talk about surrounding yourself, how important that is, not only with football and everything, but surrounding yourself with people who have a drive, who don't want to live mediocre lives. You have to surround yourself with people with a vision, with goals, in order to push you, because you become who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Totally. I agree.
That's super important.
I agree 100% with that. I mean, my dad used to say, if you hang around crap, you're going to end up smelling like crap. I would hear that for his brief moments in my life. That's the one thing. Two rules I learned from my dad. He wasn't around that much, but here's two of them. Never leave a rake with the tongs up. So you guys, you know, lay a rake down with the tongs up. One time I did that. He made me come over and step on it and smash my nose. I've never left a rake up with the tongs up. And then the other one was, you hang around crap, you're going to smell like crap. So I'll tell you what, the rake one, every construction job I worked in college in the summer, because, you know, like you can't, when you're on scholarship, you can't work.
Yeah.
Every job I had in the summertime, I would go around turning shovels over, rakes over. I was like a hypochondriac.
Oh, man.
It was awesome. So that's awesome.
Yeah, because I go into the juvenile detention system and talking with those kids there and when I'm talking to them, they're always telling me, yeah, I get back out and I end up doing the doing the same thing that I got in here for. I get caught up in the same stuff. So I tell them, you need to delete friends out of your life. Find a new circle, people that are going to push you in that positive direction.
Yeah, it's a must, man. And it's a must as you get older, too. I mean, you get married. You'll be getting married down the road. He just got married. I just got married. Dino, we have a real strong tie together, all of us, because we hold each other accountable. So it's a good thing, man. That accountability and that peer group is important.
The playing sports, and especially football or any sport, really is definitely one of the biggest influences, like from high school, like 2 days, whatnot, all summer long. You're meeting all your friends, going to becoming a freshman out of junior high. You're there at high school before anyone's even there on campus. So you're meeting all your new high school friends. And you come into the school year already with knowing these people and building those people you want to be like around. And then as you grow older and mature, obviously you start eliminating the ones that are negative in your life. But what a great influence sports has on everyone.
I think that was a big thing. Remember like eighth grade going to the freshman? Yeah, you were kind of known. Even if you were a goofball, some of the varsity guys knew you.
Yeah, you're already known. You're there all summer long.
I never really thought about that. That's definitely an awesome gift. It's definitely an awesome gift. Well, let's dive into this thing. So we, in our company, One Epic Life, our life coaching company, we really like to come in and really like to address issues, not just with youth and high school, but college and people in general. A lot of people deal with a lot of issues and a lot of things they have to battle. So we wanted to bring you, Isaac, tonight and kind of talk about fear and conquering fear and all those things that come about with it. And we all have fear in our minds. And whether it's you moving to, taking that leap and leaving Yuba City and going to Jesuit and then sign your letter of intent, you got to come down here. There's fear built into everywhere you go. I mean, there's fear. There's fear, Dino's getting ready to ship off to Afghanistan. We'll talk about that tonight and that fear. And so I wanted to start it out and talk about, my business and when I started it and all the things that led up to that and how I conquered that fear. And then we'll dive into this a little bit and we'll get into it. So when I first started Elite Fitness, I was working for the federal government. I was working in a cubicle. I hated the job. I mean, I literally was like the crack up of the office. It was a really good job. I was getting paid well. I had a federal pension, but I was dying. I mean, I would die. I would call Uncle Mike and I'd say, "Uncle Mike, what are you doing?" "Well, I just got to the gym and I'm going to get some Starbucks." He owned his own business. And I was like, "This guy, man." And he would always tell me like, "Hey, create your own life." And so I had $3,000. I literally had $3,000. I knew I wanted to train. I wanted to be a trainer. I wanted to start a fitness company. I started working on it. And I left that job with $3,000 in the bank. That's all I had. I mean, I had the most fear out, at that time.
Were you this yoked back then too?
I was in good shape. I mean, I was, we were racing at that time. I was still racing dirt bikes, outdoor nationals and all that, doing all that big racing stuff. So I was in good shape. My teammates were like, "Man, you got to start your own company." And so I said, "Well, you know what? I want to do this." So I committed to it. Well, at that time, my wife that I was married to then, she was like, "Please don't, there's just a lot of fear." And I took the jump, man. I literally took the jump with 1 month savings in my account. Like, it was make it or break it. And I had fear, I had a daughter.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I had a mortgage. I had fear like human beings.
Well, what was that tipping point?
Well, the tipping point ultimately was I got to the point where I wasn't happy in the job I was doing. And I wasn't living epic. I wasn't having an epic life. And that's what our company is about. It's about living epic. So I took the first step to take that chance and live an epic life. I wanted an epic life. I'll just speed this up a little bit. I quit. I literally went to work the following week. I was training this professional soccer team in Sacramento. I ended up getting introduced to Brandi Chastain, who's Olympic gold medalist, kicked the winning goal against China. I met her. She hired me. Brandi then, within a month and a half, 2 months, took me to Nike, got me into Nike. From there, I just had a real gift at training. And from there, I went to the Sacramento Kings. I had Bobby Jackson, Kevin. I mean, I was training all those guys. So it went from $3,000 to a thriving company, a company that I was working out of the back of my car. I would literally get on my motorcycle, swear, with all my gear on my back and drive from Sacramento to Santa Clara, which is like a 2.5-3 hour drive in traffic. Yeah. Train Brandi for like an hour because she's a beast. Jump back on my bike and ride home. And I would do that twice a week. Like I was going to grind. And it opened up so many doors and so many topics that we could talk about. But ultimately, I conquered that fear. And so there was a lot of fear. I was scared out of my mind, but it grew. And what it's grown into is it grew into three gyms. Two of them I sold. And now moving down to San Diego, we started another new company. And mm-hmm. I have a ton of fear. I'm just recently married. I'm getting ready to I have a family. And then I have a little son on the way in June. It blows my mind though. Like,
yeah.
I'm starting a company and the fear's there again. It's like you got to sink mm-hmm. or swim, and that's what champions do. They sink or swim, and I've done that at a very young age. I did that through sports. I did that through going and wrestling in college, and then starting racing and starting my own company. And that's kind of where you're at. You're in the same boat. You've come through that same passage, Mikey. I just pointed at you. Sorry,
it
don't always happen. and Dino, you've done the same. And we just want to touch a little bit first. You know, Isaac, with you. Is and we put some questions there with you a little bit, but how do you conquer your fear every day? Because there's always some chatter in your brain every day. You can't do this. You're gonna fail. You're not good enough. You're lazy. You're gonna be like this person. I mean, everybody has that little chatter in their head. Yeah. How do you deal with it?
So coming in, that fear was just kind of wanting to prove myself, but not really sure how to do it. Just being a younger guy. I think I've grown a lot since then. I've been able to kind of control that voice in my head a lot better.
Self-talk.
Yeah.
A lot of self-talk.
It's when you're doing a workout, you're literally just talking to yourself the whole time. It's kind of a weird thing once you think about it, but it really just helps you to motivate you, or it can destroy you as well. But just telling yourself that you can do it, just stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a big deal. You're getting ready to step out on a, you know, ultimately in front of 60,000 people, 70,000, 80,000 people, wherever you're at, and the mistakes amplify, coaching amplifies, and then you got to carry everything on through the week, and it is tough. It's extremely tough, and I understand it. It's crazy how you brought up self-talk, negative and positive, because I was coaching Corey last night, one of our high school kids, and I was like, he's like, man, the self-talk, the negative self-talk too, though, man, it gets chattering. And it's like, dude, like you're never gonna make it, and you probably chatter at times when I talk about you possibly going to the NFL in a few years from now if you decide to. There's gonna be a lot of self-doubt and self-fear, and things that you got to conquer to reach that potential. So it's kind of awesome that you talked about that self-talk. What kind of things do you talk about to yourself? And don't worry about it. Everyone talks to hey, the champions. Everyone.
Oh, has self-talk. I'm sure they do. Yeah. So like when I love lifting.
Right.
I hate running.
Right.
So, and you kind of got me into that running. Because before, I always, like, my older brother and my dad, they always make fun of me for being, like, a lazy kid growing up and stuff. And I definitely was. My older brother always pushed me. But, yeah, it was definitely junior year with Greg that kind of helped me reach that next level of, like, hey, if you want to be good at this, if you want to succeed, you gotta take that next step.
Embrace that pain and that struggle.
Oh yeah,
and get comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what it is. Just finding your comfort level.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think your self-talk comes from that? So all those hard workouts, all those times you pushed through, all those times you made it, even the times you didn't, it helped push you to give your identity, so you have good, strong self-talk. That no, I am a champion. I can do this.
Yeah, your training definitely helps you. Doing that now I've kind of been in the program for long enough, so I know what to expect. I know how it's going to feel when I do this workout. I know how it's going to feel after I do this many gassers, right, stuff like that, right. So I've kind of trained my mind. I'm able to do it a lot better now.
Awesome. What fear do you think controls your mind the most right now?
Probably just executing. I feel like I work out really hard. I push myself all with that. I'm in the film room. I know what I'm doing. It's just, you know, when I got my hand in the ground and ready to do the actual play, just executing.
Executing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just performing.
Awesome. Dino, what? I mean, let's stay on that talk. I mean, you're getting ready to go to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Serve our country. Thank you, by the way. Appreciate that. What is that like for you? Like, what fear do you have coming up, and what kind of things do you think about and on a bigger perspective than just football?
yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of fears with I would say the performance as well, the execution of that, just being in a war zone and being able to perform everything that I was taught, I was learned how to shoot my weapon first of all, yeah. and all those little steps and being able to effectively under stress and all of that and be able to perform to the best of my ability, well, in, essentially to stay alive,
right?
But to perform to the best of my ability.
Wow, that's awesome. And in self-talk, like what kind of things do you talk to push yourself through and get through it and stay focused?
I think it's the same with going to Afghanistan, or as we develop this one epic life, as we push forward with that, it's, I have the knowledge here. I just need to, I keep telling myself, how do I verbalize this? You've had years of training. You got this. You can go forward. Take that next step. What is your next step? As you just said, what is the next step? And that's really focusing on my goals, on my vision, and pushing towards that, taking those next steps.
Do you think you learned that naturally or through training, getting broken down, it was built back up, or do you think it's a little bit mixture of both?
I think it's a mixture of both, but definitely the training.
Yeah.
Just especially the last couple of years. My life took a big turn once the last time I was in Afghanistan, my wife cheated on me, she left me, and that just kind of wrecked my life for a moment there. But as I gradually built that back up, you know, these last couple of years have been all about goals and vision, looking towards that and physically taking those next steps towards my goals.
Yeah, because the pain and the struggle and the mistakes, that doesn't define you. You are you,
no,
ultimately. Yeah. And whether you win or lose, those things don't define you. And I tell my son, Adrian, that all the time. I'm like, listen, you're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. They don't define you. It's not who you are. You are you, and you're a great person. You're okay. You just got to learn from your mistakes. And that's a hard thing to do, because you can get down on yourself and not push through those moments. And I've had, you know, dealing with athletes and high level athletes, NFL, NBA, whatever it's been, it all comes across the same way. And that is, we're all human, one, and two, we're trying to get a job done. Mm-hmm. And so you learn how to ride mistakes and you learn how to ride successes, and you learn how to ride life with each other. And I think that's a big deal. I mean, I've always found that ultimately sports teach you a lot, but life teaches you a lot and coming back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sports too. And then also off that, in sports or just in life too, having like mentors, you know, as you accomplish one level or season in life, man, you've already there before the person is that's behind you, you know what I mean? And the one before you also. So, what a great influence that could be, too, just to be a mentor to those, and also to have a mentor, you know, constantly, whether it's sports, life, you know?
Yeah. Well, mentoring's such a big deal, because you take a school like Bishop Gorman High School, right? And they've got the best facilities, arguably some of the best high school coaches in the world, some of the best kids to play around. What those kids get to see and those kids get to experience is completely different than a kid that's going to a school that barely has a weight room, barely has a coach that'll show up and train them and teach them. And it might have one Division I football player they got out 3 years ago. So there's no mentoring. There's none of those things going on. And so for that kid, that's why mentoring is so important for a kid like that. That's why it's so important to come mm-hmm. beside a kid and say, hey, this is what you could do. This is what you can do. These are your possibilities. And if you've never seen it, we used to take kids all the time. I mean, I think you remember in high school, we took so many kids to the Stanford games, the Oregon games. We would just take kids up and let them hang out with our players because they've never seen that. I mean,
you had us train with the older guys.
Yeah.
When we were young guys in high school, you had us training with ex-NFL guys, current NFL guys.
It's huge.
College guys. It
brings your level up.
Man. Yeah. It lets you know what to strive for.
Yeah, yeah, and our guys always talk to everyone. We're always mentoring and talking. So, I remember Jackson at Stanford, he would call Isaiah. I remember one night when they beat Oregon, we were there at that game. We got on a plane, flew to Chicago, watched Isaiah play on Chicago. And I was talking about Jackson in the game. He goes, yeah, I already talked to him. We chopped it up. And he was like, I was like, dude, thank you.
That's really cool.
Like, because you got a kid who's trying to get to the league, you know, and he may or he may not. It doesn't matter. That's not the ultimate goal for some people. But they're mentoring. They're talking about the game. They're talking about the experience. And, man, that's... that's priceless, man. To me, that's what training and fitness and everything in life and life coaching is all about. So I find it really cool. I just find that one, anxiety, fear is normal. It's going to happen. Struggle's real. You got to learn to embrace pain and go through things. I mean, it's just it's just part of the gig. And if you don't, it could really, really affect where you go as an athlete or just as a human being in general. So, Mikey, what do you let me ask you a quick question, all right? What's your biggest fear after you got married? I just have to ask that.
After I got married? Nothing really. I've had nothing but hope, and it's been good. And so, not a fear yet, but I don't know. It's a tough question because I don't know.
You don't fear anything as a husband ever?
Well, I mean, of course, things will arise, I'm sure, but...
But nothing.
But
in the,
first
nothing
getting married, no.
Just enjoying the ride.
This guy's
enjoying
a stud, ride, that's why.
Not to say that I don't have fears, but if you're being specific about just being married right now, no, it's been...
Nothing.
It's no fears. Everything's... We're looking forward to everything. I guess the biggest fear is affording a house in San Diego by the beach. That's my biggest fear.
Dude, I mean, come on.
It's just, things are going to happen.
It's insane here.
Yeah, I know. Then also, you know, as time goes on and she gets pregnant... God willing, you know, then finances and redoing all that. That's just part of life. So I wouldn't so off that topic for being at fear, through my years, not like I got it down perfect, but from where I was growing up to the very point that I am now, I've learned to how to handle and tools to conquer those fears and anxieties too. So so I guess not so much that I'm fearless or don't have fears. It's just like training. I'm trained for it. Right. I'm mentally ready preparing. For it. I mean, am I like invincible? Not at all, but I'm definitely not, you know, drinking milk, some little kid playing toys. You know, I know how to handle stuff as well. Not just because of my own thoughts, but because I've learned tools to deal with them.
Right.
How to put them in motion and to work, making a healthier cognitive thought patterns.
Awesome. Know? Awesome. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. And I think this topic of fear, it's a lot of it self-imposed, a lot of it it's lies. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to combat with your self-talk and how do you talk to yourself, and you got to be able to, you really got to combat it and capture those thoughts every day. I mean, it's just a must. I have them every day. I'm older than you guys by a little bit, but my fears are different because now I'm going in, you know, I'm heading to middle age, little past middle age now. And it was all those fears, like, man, am I going to die? Am I going to have a heart attack? All those things are creeping. I really try to capture those, and I equalize them by training, by eating healthy, by trying to live life. And I have those cheat days where I'll eat a gallon of ice cream, but I just come back on Monday, and I get right back after it again, man. I get right back on that horse, man, okay?
Man, one of the biggest things, maybe for to tell Isaac, which you probably, because you're the youngest one, but you're well-rounded kid, and you probably know a lot of this stuff, but one of the biggest things that I wish I would have known when I was younger, man, was this balance of like this physically balanced as you are, mentally stimulating my mind, emotionally, like how to really handle like conversations with people, relationships with a girl. You know, that's when you're in the arena where it really comes out, you're of who you are, you know what I mean? And to be able to really be healthy so you could recognize in relationships, especially, you know, that whether friends or girls, that those who aren't healthy, you could recognize it the more healthier you are, so therefore you're not going to get yourself in that.
Are you talking about the cray crays?
Yeah, about the cray crays.
Stage five clinger.
Yeah, exactly.
Always, we got a stage five clinger.
Especially, you don't want to be the crazy person either, man.
Yeah.
And then most importantly is spiritually, you know.
Yeah.
And you're investing your time in God, your creator, the one who made you. So I wish I would have known this, because the balance would be, you know, am I doing things mentally? Like, you're in school, you're learning, man, your mind's stimulated, or you're learning a guitar or something, or you're giving a couple songs. But and physically, you know, you're playing football, you can't. That's all around, and that's a blast, too, and it's enjoyable. Spiritually, man, where are you at? You're just doing nothing, just walking the earth, you know? Or and emotionally, man, what are you pouring in, you know?
Yeah.
So that's something I like to bring to the table when it comes to younger people, because it's just something I wish I would have. I don't, like, force anything on anyone, but I was like, man, if I would have gripped that a long time ago, life would have been a lot easier, you know?
Yeah, and that's a big component, man. The spiritual, emotional, the physical, all those things have to be balanced out and equaled. And you really, your identity comes from those things. So
yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
When did you kind of realize that spiritually, that you needed?
Yeah, spiritually, like always growing up, just like that yearning for like truth, you know. So with that, that drew out of me my, not like search, like it was just evident to me. Simple, you know, just the sun rising, a baby being made in a woman's stomach. Like, it's mine. Like, where did I even come from? Like, how am I, like, how we all, like, dude, we're all, like, strong men here, man. How is that even possible?
Yeah,
we
never existed. There's no way that was a mistake.
Yeah, so
we just popped into existence.
Yeah, exactly. So in my mind, it just cultivated wonder, you know, and it just brought me to the Christianity, to the Bible. And through that brought me through truth. And then through that brought me out of emotional unhealthiness. Not like I was like some crazy weirdo, but I just never knew anything.
Let's clear this up. You do have that one outstanding warrant in Nevada.
Yeah, well, that's
standing outside that. Okay.
That's back in the day.
Brenda! Brenda, I love you!
Yeah, totally, man. So, yeah, so probably that's always been something, but it helped me to develop the other areas of my life, which is cool, which is God and Himself, man. For me, is just revealing these things to me, so. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I wish I would have known when I was younger.
Yeah.
But,
and, you know, I'm
perfect timing, I guess.
We all met at church, actually. Right. I met Greg at church. I met Mike at church. It's a pretty big foundation. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's good.
Well, it's the common tie. And I met him, his dad, his family, same connection. So I met Vi from Utah, same way. I mean, right. Everything is just, every person I've met, it's been meant to be, and it's been pivotal, especially in my spiritual walk. So... very blessed. Well, good. Well, in closing, that's a good close tonight. What's next, Isaac? What's next? You got spring ball coming up
February 19th. So, awesome. Yeah, we're in our winter conditioning right now, and then we got spring ball coming
we'll
up.
We'll be
so.
Out there. We'll
nice,
be out
right.
there.
Start,
this
hitting,
this little,
yeah,
this little crew will be out there.
Awesome.
We'll be out there supporting
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So
sure.
We'll come out and bug you and go to lunch afterwards and hang out a little bit.
Sweet.
Yeah. Where did we go to lunch last time?
We went to the Phil's Barbecue.
We crushed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That place is awesome.
Dude, this guy, he's got Phil's down to like the perfect science.
It's good, man.
He goes, this is how you get this much more.
He goes, he's in college, man.
Yeah,
he's
like,
man.
Don't order number four. Order number
does
six.
This guy pay for
and
you?
If you go in the back to the bar, you don't have to wait in the line.
Yeah, yeah people, a lot of people don't know that. When
you're
I first moved to San Diego,
I'm like, just go around the back.
Cool. Yeah. Did Greg pay for you guys, or did you guys have to pay for yourself?
I got sponsored.
Call
him
out. Call him out.
My dad was there.
His dad was there. Oh, okay. I got sponsored. I was on scholarship. So.
Hey, I have a quick question before we close. Yeah. For Isaac. Yeah, when you were in high school, did you defense? What did you play? Because I know they probably
he's a quarterback.
Around.
Yeah, so I've been a quarterback since.
Okay.
Fourth grade,
you had a cannon
grade,
too.
Just,
a cannon, bro.
I'm sure,
he
I'm
could
sure.
roll out.
Always
just
playing quarterback. Senior year, tore a ligament in my thumb, so I was casted up. So that made the transfer to linebacker, and I've never been scared to hit. So yeah, so when I was recruited, they recruited me for linebacker / fullback. They weren't really sure where they were gonna put me,
mm-hmm.
but yeah,
about you were 230. You were 230 in high school.
I was like 220.
220?
Yeah. So but then junior, I was like 185.
I know.
Just cut, lean. Yeah. Greg had me.
He had a mullet, too.
Heavy fast.
Yeah, he had a mullet. He had a long mullet, bro. Nice. He thought he was Bernie Kosar out there. Oh, he had a great arm, though, man. He actually came to our small town. He had transferred from SAC to our small town. And, dude, he was like, Caleb's like, Dad. And I'm like, he's a beast. Like, it elevated that whole
team.
We had a good run.
No, he had a great run, man. And some of those kids are playing on right now at different levels. So that was a good time. That program has struggled in the past. But, you know, the whole football scene in Sacramento is tough, man. It's literally a melting. I mean, if you're talking about top D1 recruiting, I mean, other than the Deep South and Texas, Florida, Sacramento has...
Sure.
I mean, Shaq, Tom, all those guys that are on the league right now and playing, kids that we've trained and been around, it is amazing. I mean, Folsom High School, Del Oro, what they turn out there.
The talent level's really crazy.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
When you think about
the size
of it. You
don't really think about NorCal as football, but it really is.
Yeah. He got to see our second gym in Sacramento, which that place was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And And now, you know, I think about trying to put a place down here like that, and it's like, man, you can't even touch San Diego. It's like, it would cost us $20,000 a month just in rent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe $30,000
a month. You've got to train at the beach.
Yeah. So we train on the beach. So, and yeah, and that comes up to Saturday. I'll see you Saturday. We're going to be hitting it up on the beach on Saturday and getting some reps in and looking forward to us getting back to training again a little bit in the off season. I know it's so hard in the in season. I don't even mess with you, but it's good in the off season to get a little training, get your mind opened up a little bit.
Extra work in for sure.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being part of our first podcast.
Yeah,
Mikey, thank you for coming in again.
Yeah.
Dude, you're becoming a regular here, man.
That's cool, man. Just down the street.
All right, man. Well, again, tune into our next podcast. We'll be talking about being 100% honest about every effort we put in, and we'll look forward to having you back on. Also, check out our website at oneepiclife.org. And Instagram, we're on Instagram now. Yeah, well, we've been on Instagram for a while.
Yeah.
So we got a few followers there.
A little bit.
Come support us in San Diego. If you're in San Diego, stop in for a free workout. Hit us up on our website or DM us. Is it DM?
Yeah, DM. Direct message. He's got to get up with the times right now.
Hey, DM us on...
this old man right
here. DM us on Instagram and just hit up and say, hey, I want to get a workout in. We have a lot of... workouts on Saturdays and stuff that you just come in and drop in and come work out on the beach, man. It's an amazing place. So again, I want to thank you, Isaac. Thank you for your time.
Dude.
You're a stand-up guy, and we wish you nothing but the best. So, all right. Thank you. All right, guys.
Nice. Sweet. Awesome, man. That's cool, man.
Dude, thank you. First one.